Hey guys, and welcome to the Strong Tower Mental Health Podcast, where you will be inspired, encouraged, and transformed with powerful teachings and real stories of mental health. This podcast is not a substitute for counseling. If you are in a crisis, call or text your local crisis center or visit suicidepreventionlifeline.org. Jesus is in our mental health, and freedom is where we start. I am your host, Heidi Mortensen, licensed marriage and family therapist. Get ready. Today's show's going to bring you hope. Well, hello and welcome to the Strong Tower Mental Health Podcast. I am your host, Heidi Mortensen, licensed marriage and family therapist. And I'm really excited to have with me my friend, local Minnesotan, Teresa Cleveland. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to have this conversation.
Yeah, and Teresa, I just learned, this is like a new word that I haven't heard of before. She's a speaker, but a growth coach. She's not a life coach, but a growth coach. So I'm really excited to really grow. Like, I'm excited to get the coaching and the growth coaching that I definitely need, and really just to hear more about your testimony and your story and how you've gotten into being a growth coach. And you have just so much wisdom and know the word of God so well. So I'm really excited to have you. So thank you so much for being here. And if you could share a little bit about yourself and who you are, and then we'll get into your testimony.
Well, my name is Teresa Cleveland. I have a new little company called Courageous Coup. And the theme or the mission behind the company is to help people overthrow past mindsets and arise with greater wisdom and purposeful growth. Mm-hmm. So when I say I'm a growth coach, what I'm very sincere in that, what I really help people do is, whether it's an organization or a team or an individual, is take a honest, sometimes difficult conversation with themselves and face the things that have been standing in their way and preventing them from moving forward on the path that they have, the dreams that they have, the goals that they have, and most importantly, above all else, their relationship with the Lord. Mm-hmm. So I was involved in a Bible study about 20 years ago, and there was something that was shared in that. And it said, removing the boulders of your life, because we're all on paths, whatever those may be. And oftentimes we'll come up against a boulder in our life. And until we address that boulder, we're just not moving and we're not growing. And mm-hmm. so what I really like to do is work with people. It doesn't matter, and including myself. You were asking me about my testimony, and I said that a lot of my testimony actually took place at my kitchen table. And that's 100% true. My testimony is when God met me at my kitchen table over a cup of coffee and literally picked up giant boulders that were standing in the way of my relationship with him, my relationship with people in my family, my relationship with my friends, my relationship to the world around me, or even like my mindset in relationship to business or what he had called me to do. So often I would just put up massive roadblocks, and God had to have really, sometimes I will be brutally honest, conversations with me, so that I had to make a decision. Am I stopping here, or am I going to let you take this out of the way so that with you, I get to move forward? And helping other people have those same kind of conversations in a guided, gentle, and sometimes not so gentle way. But then they get to move forward and they get to grow and they get to no longer be truly victimized by their mindset and by their what they see as limitations, and rather being able to find the hope and the joy in what is ahead instead of the fear.
Yeah, I mean, that's so good. You know, when you were describing God meeting you there at your kitchen table, I was thinking, I think that there's some people that want to know a little more. Can you tell more kind of specifically kind of what God did and like what were those boulders and how did he remove them from you? And how did you even know that he was talking to you and telling you to remove these boulders? Like how can you talk a little bit about that process and what that was?
Well, they were usually pretty specific, and he's a good guide, so he doesn't. Almost everybody has a lot of boulders, but God isn't telling me that I have to get every single one of them out of the way all at the same time, or like power through and that kind of a thing. He's never asked that of me. He's been such a good father in that he walked me through what needed to be removed in that moment at that time. And then he helped mature me till we get to before we have to take on the next one. So then I was prepared to take on the next one. And one of the very first ones was there was a lot of pain. This was, the 20-year-old one. It was in 1999, 2000. So, oh my goodness, it's 2024. That's 24 years ago. Oh my word. Anyway, but there was a lot of hurt and pain and betrayal and other things in my personal life, in my marriage, in a couple of other relationships that I had at that time. And I was sitting in church one day. This was in church, and there had been a lot of kitchen table prayers leading up to that moment. And the Lord, there was a the pastor had called for everyone who was willing to really surrender the pain and the hurt and the betrayal of their lives and nail it to the cross, to stand up in confession, to saying I'd be willing to move forward, or you're going to be willing to move forward. And we were to have a moment of quiet reflection and prayer and bring before the Lord what is the one thing that you have been holding on to, what kind of hurt, that type of thing. And I sat in that, and then and I did not stand up. I was unwilling to stand up. Yeah. And my husband kind of poked me and was like, Teresa, you're not standing up, because I'm like the one who always stands up. I have that good, I'm a good Christian church girl, whatever mindset. So you stand up, of course you're going to stand up. But in that moment, I was having an honest conversation with the Lord. And I think that's part of the fear, is sometimes we're not really honest with the Lord. We tell him what we think he wants to hear,
Come
which
on.
is so silly, because he knows it,
I know.
And so here I am sitting in church that day, and what the Lord said to me was, Teresa, you need to trust Scott. That's my husband. And I said, no, I can't. And so I didn't stand up. And what that meant for me was about 5 years of hard wrestling with the Lord. He asked me to say yes in that moment. And what he was asking, to trust Scott, but what he was really saying, trust me. Trust me that I'm at work in Scott, that I'm at work in you, that I'm at work in your family, all of those kinds of things. And I was like, no. There was more comfort in my pain, more comfort in my hurt, or these ideals I had in my head that hadn't played out, all of those kinds of things. And I wanted to live in my safety net of pain. And yeah, so it took about, like I said, about 5 or 6 years of just wrestling with the Lord. And he worked with me. He's patient and he's kind. And there wasn't going to be, there would be small growth, but there couldn't be great growth, because I refused to remove that boulder out of the garden that God wanted to plant. So everything I was planting was around that boulder. And notice my phrasing right there. Everything I was planting
Oh my gosh.
was around that boulder. And I was planting a lot of things in God's name.
Oh my gosh. So this is so good. Keep going. This is so good. We do this so much.
All the time. And here's the funny thing. I have this little company called Courageous Coup, which that's a whole goofy story in and of itself for another time entirely. But it was exactly what the Lord called me to do 20 years ago. But I said no, because I said no to trusting the Lord in trusting my husband. And it took him 24 years of getting me to stop trying to plant the garden and letting him take over. So if you want, like, that's one of the most significant pieces of my testimony, was learning how to let the Lord remove the boulders, stepping into trusting him, and in trusting him, trust others, even if I didn't feel they were trustworthy. He was, he is, and he always has been. And he is at work. And there is something that when he works in and through us, even the untrustworthy are trustable because of him, because you're trusting them through him. Mm-hmm. And so he just had to work. And then there was another time, and this one was about 5 years ago, where this time we were at the kitchen table. And we were actually having the exact same conversation. Only this time it's me, just me and the Lord. And I was in tears over just a whole bunch of things. But it was the exact same conversation. Because that boulder was still sitting there. Now, what's funny is there were lots of other big rocks around that one really giant boulder. And the whole time the Lord was working to remove those bigger rocks and get those out of the way and cultivate the soil around those and start growing some beautiful things and stuff. But I still hadn't let him move that really big one. And I forgot about it. I wasn't thinking about it. Things were pretty, pretty okay-ish. And you were able to survive with the boulder and even have a pretty garden. And it's like, oh, cool. Look at my rock garden. So, I'm going to make a feature out of it.
Right. Yeah. We do that. Yep. We totally do that. Yep. Make a feature out of the thing. The thing that's a struggle in our life, and we do just kind of forget about it. I like that you said that. That is so common. Like, we just forget about it. It's just there, and we put lots of pretty decorations and flowers around it.
Yep. So here we are sitting at the kitchen table and having this exact same conversation, and I am just weeping. I can't even fully describe the level of weeping I was. I mean, like physically crying and sobbing to the point where you feel like your body is almost violently racked with it. I mean, that was that kind of sobbing.
Yeah.
And then I thought, I am not a good Christian. And so let me qualify this. Because I know we can be given to a lot of negative self-talk and speaking lies into truth, and we don't want falsehood lies into false truths that we buy into and that kind of a thing. So that is not what I'm talking about. I am not talking about speaking a lie into a false truth that we buy into, but what I am talking about was this physical, mental, emotional, overwhelming moment where I realized that I, Teresa, was never going to be a good Christian, but I had a good Christ and I needed him every moment of every day, and that he is the Christian, and him in me then enables me to be what it is that he designed me to be. And so what I ultimately did in that moment was say, okay, Lord, I trust you. And I'm trusting you. I can trust Scott. And I can trust what you have for us. And it was like 25 years worth of chains fell to the floor.
Wow.
And there was so much
Wow.
freedom in that moment.
Wow.
And the truth is I am not a good Christian. My nature is sinful. But through Christ, I have his nature. And in him, in his nature, all things are possible through him. Isn't that verse? All things are possible through Christ Jesus. And so it was like the world opened up of what God saw as possible, because it wasn't me trying to make it anymore. And it's not me trying to do a garden, and it's not me trying to remove the boulders or the rocks, but it is giving the Lord free rein to do what he would have to do, and then bring the healing that he brings. And it's life-changing. So
That's so good. I mean, that's like talking about overthrowing past mindsets. I mean, that's big. Like in kind of growing. I mean, to me, this is just like where I can see where you're calling yourself a growth coach, because you did it yourself. Like God helped you to grow in places where you were struggling to grow because you were putting a boulder there. Nothing could grow in that spot that you had that boulder there.
The remarkable thing is, I think there was a lot of beautiful soil underneath that. And now it's one of the most blessed parts of the garden. So it's an amazing it was a, it's been an amazing journey, and it continues to be so. And so and the other thing that happens in those moments for us is when we move into that full faith capacity, then it's so much easier to, when you're facing the next obstacle and you start to have that resistance against the obstacle, whatever it happens to be, and you look back and you go, no, I know what God did, so I can see what he can do. And then you get to move forward in it, and your faith grows, just like exactly like the Bible says over and over and over again. And it's like, put your trust in me and you will see what I can do. Put your trust in me. And then, and when I show you something, then look forward to the next thing. And so that's what you end up doing, is you start looking forward to the next thing and to the next boulder being removed. And it's not like I don't still have them, because I definitely do. I've been kind of walking through one right now, just in the, well, Lord, are you really? And why doesn't it look like this? And why doesn't it look like that? And you start going into that questioning mode. And then it's like, well, wait a minute. Whose vision and whose garden am I working on? Okay, let's go back to the kitchen table moment, and let's realize that this is what the Lord is doing. And my job is to say yes to him today and then trust him with the outcome. And so you get the opportunity to grow. You just do, because you're saying yes. I'm saying
So,
yes to you right now. So.
yeah, I have a question about this, because I think that there's some people listening in there, and because one of the things I think is very significant about what you're sharing is that you actually sat down at the kitchen table and you're talking to God. So I think I just want to encourage some people listening or watching that if like to do that, to sit down and actually talk to God. And that's what I think is so beautiful about your story, is that yes, you have these moments where you are not being a good Christian. You know that you're a sinner, like you need Jesus. Like, It's so powerful, but you got that because you were taking the time to sit and talk to God. And you're being real with him. You learned you weren't being real with him. Okay, now I'm being real. Now I'm being really honest. Like you're brutally honest with him. And just, I want to just encourage people to do that, to be honest and to be real with God. But then I want you to talk a little bit about how, as you're sitting with him, how were you knowing that it was him? Like, what is it that you do to help you to know that it is God saying what you should be doing, that you're saying yes to that? Because I think some of us can get kind of tripped up in, is it me? Is it God? Is it the devil? Like, huh? I mean, I think we can kind of tell when it's God versus the devil, but sometimes like we get really messed up with, is that my flesh? Like, and we can tell ourselves, like, you could have told yourself, well, this is what God wants. God wants this boulder in the garden. I mean, we do that. Like we
Yes,
can
we do.
interpret something and we can say that this is what God wants, but it's actually really our feelings that are guiding that. And so we can get lost into even the mindsets that we need to overthrow. We're not even really aware of them because we're so caught up in our own like comfort with pain, like you said, you know, before we're comfortable with this pain. And we tell ourselves, well, this is what God wants. So how can we get to that place of hearing more clearly and knowing that it's God versus ourself? And how did you break through in that? And how can we have better ears to hear?
Well, the same way we get to know anybody else's voice. I know my father's voice because I hear it every day and because I listen to it every day, but I spend time with him. I'm in the Word, and you know me, I love the Bible. There's a reason I love the Bible. It's because that's been the source. There's so much consistency in the character of God. And the more you're in the Word, the more you see that. You see His character show up consistently the same way all the time through for 5,000 years of history, 6,000 years of history. And that is not, He is not changing. He is not subject to culture. He's not subject to social media or whatever the trend is at the moment, because there's been times where God is trendy.
That is true. That's a very good point.
Then times where, he's not. And he frankly doesn't care.
That's good. That is so good.
So he's
Yeah.
not looking to be a trendsetter or what are the what are those what is it called? And I know this and trendsetter, but when you have a lot of followers, an influencer.
Oh,
He's
yeah. Yeah.
So that
Yes.
isn't he is the influencer. He
He
is the
is.
influence. It's like, yeah, I
Yeah.
don't need to prove that. But I'm consistently in the Word and asking him. I literally sit in the scriptures and say, Lord, what is it about you that I need to see today? And
That's good.
some days he says a lot, and some days it's real kind of dry, it's Leviticus or something, the rituals. But there's that very popular Bible app podcast right now, and she'll share in that and I don't know if you're licensed to share that stuff, but anyway, she'll share in that podcast that we just need to look for the God shots, the God moments in God's voice. So we look for those moments. It's like, what, Lord, what do you have for me today? What is it that I'm supposed to hear from you? Give me just one word or one phrase or one moment, even if it just makes me go, huh, what is that? Just or and then I'll be honest, there have been at times where, yeah, I don't like that, those kinds of things. And he promises, if you seek me and you seek me with your whole heart, I will be found by you. And so take him at his promises. And I've heard that my whole life from every spiritual leader I've ever had. Take him at his promises. And it's the truth. I take him at his promises. And so I ask him, Lord, if you have something for me, make it known to me. And then the other thing, Heidi, as you were asking me this question, I was thinking, as I was sitting at that kitchen table, and even 24 years ago when I sat in that church service, you know what did not happen? The Lord did not get up and walk away.
That's
He
good.
did not abandon me at that moment when I said, no, I don't want that. He didn't say, fine, I've got nothing to do with you. It is not God who does the leaving, it is us.
Wow. That is so good.
So
Yeah.
he did not get up and walk away from me at the kitchen table. He did not get up and walk away from me that day in that church service. He has not gotten up and walked away at any time. There are times where he's like, okay. He backs off. He'll kind of like raise his hands and let me go experiment or do whatever. And then I'm not in his realm of protection, if you want to put it that way. But he has never walked away from me. He has always stood at the end of the driveway waiting for me to come home. He has always left a light on. He has never, ever turned his back. That is not his nature. So that's another reason why I've learned to trust him, and in trusting him, have the opportunity to grow in him. And so I sit at the kitchen table and I get to have honest conversations with a father who never walks away. There are definitely times where he says, you are not listening. Your attitude needs to be checked. Like, he definitely does that, but he never gets up and he never walks away. And that gives me a lot of freedom to be honest with God. I get to be honest with God because I have a relationship with a heavenly Father that never walks away.
So
So
good.
it's because of those things that you begin to hear. And sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no, sometimes he sits in silence with me. Sometimes he shows me something that makes me uncomfortable and a little squirmy in my seat. And then it's like, okay, I'm not getting this. I'm not understanding this. I don't like this. What is it that I need to know? And then he takes his time to teach me in a way that I'll be able to hear. And so it's time and it's spending time with him. Because the more you spend time with somebody, the more you hear their voice, the more you recognize your voice. Just like Jesus said, my sheep will hear my voice. They hear his voice because they're listening for it. And it will never, ever, ever, ever contradict his character. It never will. So if I am thinking that God is leading me in a direction that is contradictory to the character of God, then that is my voice. It is not his.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you so much for that. That was such beautiful wisdom. Thank you. And before I have you pray for our listeners, I'd love to hear if there's anything else that you really wanted to share, or because I feel like we got a lot about even how to overthrow past mindsets, even with what you shared here. But is there something else that you wanted to share that's kind of another little nugget of what you do, with your growth coaching clients?
Yeah. I think the biggest thing is learning how to have honest conversations and not being afraid of them. So, and then feeling safe to do that, to feel safe to do that because you're working with people and God who just isn't going to get up and walk away. So it's I guess, a reiteration of what I've already shared. So that's the heart and soul of everything that I do.
That's beautiful.
So
And so then do you meet with people one-on-one, face-to-face? Is it, Zoom or electronic? How do you meet with people?
However they need to meet. So some of the things I do are live. I have done phone consultations and things like that with people, virtual, like with Zoom and whatnot as well. If you're talking to somebody who's in South Carolina, you're probably not going to get a whole lot of face to face. So it's going to be Zoom or phone or something like that. But if I'm talking to somebody who's nearby, I think that there's a lot of benefit in the face to face conversation, at least once or twice, because there's a different level of connection and safety that comes out of that, which I'm sure you know and you experience. There's probably a lot more growth with your clients in the face-to-face consultation than the Zoom ones. And it's like anything, we learn better when we're having a real life experience. And yet a lot can be done in this kind of a thing. So I can see your face and connect with you and respond in a much more effective way than other types of things. And then I do like small group trainings and team trainings and stuff like that. And that's a little bit different, but that's usually about helping them build connection on their team, improving their culture and communication and stuff like that. Because one of the things I begin to realize about what the gifts and talents that the Lord has given me is I'm a communicator, which is different than a speaker.
Ah, that's good. I didn't know that. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, so I do speak sometimes too much, but there's a big difference between talking at people and being able to truly communicate, build connection, and sharing of ideas that empower and enable them to walk away prepared to take action versus just, oh, that was a nice thing. I feel, cool. And then 15 minutes later, it's gone.
Right.
So, yeah.
Very, very good point. And then I just want to speak what your website is. It is courageouscoup.com. And I'm going to just spell this out. It's Courageouscoup, as in Paul, .com.
Yeah.
And so if anybody wants to inquire about your services, is that what you'd recommend as they go to your website?
Yeah, they can go to the website and you can email me from there. I offer something called the free virtual coffee. So you can
Awesome.
click on that link
Okay.
and actually schedule a free just virtual coffee. It would be like this, like us sitting down here
Yeah.
today and just talking through.
Awesome.
Only then I'm asking questions and you're talking.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds
Not the other
wonderful.
way around.
Yeah,
So,
that's very cool.
yeah, that's a lot of fun, actually. I really enjoy those.
Yeah, well,
So,
this has been just wonderful having you on. I'm so blessed to have you as a friend and so thankful that you shared just the depths of your heart. Like you go in, you go deep and you feel hard and you share it. And I very much appreciate that. And it's such a gift. And you're what's equally powerful, because I'm in a prayer group with you, are your prayers. So I would love it if you can pray for the listeners and really just let Holy Spirit lead you. So whatever you feel God is leading you to pray right now, it's yours.
okay. Well, Father, first of all, thank you very much that Heidi was willing to sit and have virtual coffee with me today and to just talk about you. The most powerful, influential, impactful thing we could possibly do in our lives is simply talk about you and not be afraid to sit with you and talk with you as well. So, Lord, we thank you for that opportunity. We thank you for that blessing. We thank you that we have a personal God who literally meets us at the kitchen table or the dining room table or the conference table or wherever we happen to be. You show up. And that's an amazing and powerful and humbling thing. So, Father, we thank you for that. And then, Lord, I don't know who might hear this today, but Father, I ask that you would meet them where they are, and you would reach into their hearts and reassure them that you're the one who wants to have courageous conversations with them, that you're not afraid of them. You don't care what they're bringing to the table. You just want them to lay it all out. You just want to listen. You just want to hear. And you just want to hold them. And then you want to help them leave it at the table and walk away refreshed and restored, renewed, redeemed, Jesus. There is nothing so big. There is nothing so ugly. There is nothing so insurmountable that a conversation with you, an honest conversation with you, would not overthrow. So, Father, I just ask that you would bring people boldly to the table before you. Let them weep in your presence and let them arise restored and refreshed and rested. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, I feel rested. Thank you. Thank you so much, Teresa. And just another reminder that you can go to her website, which is CourageousCoup.com, and have a wonderful rest of your day. Thank you, Teresa.
Thank you, Heidi. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Strong Tower Mental Health Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts and subscribe wherever you listen. Your review helps the show reach more people and spread mental health awareness with Jesus at the center. You can also check me out on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, or my website at HeidiMortensonLMFT.com. See you at our next episode.